Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you have our app, sermon notes are on our app today. I'm sorry, our slides aren't working for the scriptures. So if you're old school and brought your Bible to church, we're going to be in the book of Exodus. We've got over 100 people at camp right now, and they are just having a marvelous time. Sounds like things went really, really well. They'll be coming back to Calgary later this afternoon. But there are people there. We've got some young people who come to revival on Friday night, community kids who have just shown up. They haven't been to church. They've just come on Friday nights. And then have been invited into the community, and they're camping, parents are camping. I mean, it is a marvelous ministry that's taking place. But if you notice, lots of people are away, that's where they are. Even though that they are at camp, it's not really camping. Most of them are not in tents. There are a few trailers out there. But, you know, a church camp, so there's buildings and dorms and stuff. The reason I say this is because I don't think that any of us would consider the Exodus out of Egypt that they went camping. Even though there was tents involved and they were off in the wilderness and out of the cities, I don't think we would think that is a campo. God miraculously delivered the Israelites, the Hebrews, from Egypt. And it would have been such a challenge for them to move from the cities and the populated areas into the wilderness. The horrors of being in slavery. They experienced deliverance by God. I want to be clear on that, right? We don't say Moses was the deliverer. God used Moses. Moses was just following God. Moses ran from Pharaoh 40 years earlier, but God had Moses go stand before Pharaoh. Moses couldn't deliver God's people. But can you imagine? They were in slavery for 400 years. If we would follow through, sometimes a couple times it says 430 years, that had to do with Abraham sojourning through the area, and when Ishmael began to harass and persecute Isaac. But the nation was in slavery for 400 years. How would they know how to not be in slavery? Moses will tell the people, "You're going to be free." We'll watch Moses go and stand before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." But if it was today, I want to submit to you, if we had been in slavery, this is their experience. If we had been in slavery for 400 years, if we go back 100 years, the year is 1925. If we go back 200 years, it's 18. Only half of the distance takes us to being in slavery since 1825. Another 100 years, 300 years is 1725. 400 years takes us to the year 1625. 400 years of slavery. They have no frame of reference of not being in slavery. 1625 until now. How would you process what freedom looks like? And sometimes we look at them and say, "You want to go back to Egypt? Come on." It's all they had ever known. The structure, the familiarity, all of that. That's what they knew. Slavery was normal. And normal then for any of us could ever imagine. Crossing the Red Sea, not only were they delivered, but God promised them in Exodus 14, verse 13, said this, "And this Egyptian army you will see no more." This deliverance, you will see no more. This is what it says. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 15, or if you have your device, Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We're looking at a couple verses here. Then we're moving on. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. Exodus 15, verse 1. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang," so they've just come through the Red Sea. "And Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider thrown into the sea.'" Can anybody hear the song? "I will sing unto the Lord, for he is..." It's really hard not to go there, right? Yeah. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And this victory was victory not only over the soldiers who were following Pharaoh, but this victory was victory over all of the Egyptian gods and over those who trusted in them. And so will the result be with anyone who trusts in other gods. And so we have an imperative ministry of reconciliation to go let people know that they can be reconciled to God. Alpha showing up on the 16th of September. It said, the Egyptian army you will see no more. Moses struck up the band. They began to sing. His big sister Miriam later would sing, and we don't know if it was antiphonally, how it worked, sing a line and sing it back, but they began to echo. They began to sing, Miriam, and she led the ladies in dancing. There's this celebration. And we come to verse 22, and this is what we're going to look at this morning. I want to talk about these two places that they come to after the Red Sea. They come to Mara, and they come to Elam. And so Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 22, it says this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. We're going to come back to that point. They went 3 days because it's really important, something that happened earlier in Exodus. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Mara, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Mara. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it, the tree, into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. And this phrase, it's not the primary point of our text, but it's here, and I want to talk about it for a second. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the water. For I am the Lord who heals you, right? Specifically, for I am the Lord who heals. The Hebrew language actually attaches that word healing to the name of God. Years ago, when I was just probably about starting Bible school, 17 years old, I think around that time is when it really caught on. The names of God started to just be talked about everywhere. So many people know God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh. And why do we know that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's and then other names of God, Jehovah, my righteousness, Tisitkenu, Jehovah, Shalom, God, my peace, Jehovah Nisi, my banner. But it's here that God reveals himself as, I am the God who heals you, Jehovah Rapha. And they, in the language, they connect those, his name and healing together, Jehovah Rapha. They're connected. And what it means is this, not just I am the God who heals you, I am the God whose nature it is to heal you. My very nature is to heal you. That's who I am. I am the God who heals you, Jehovah Rapha. There are times where God allows sickness, but sickness is not attached to his name. Sickness is not what he does. And even in this context, they say, I'm not bringing upon you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians to rescue you out of that. Sickness and disease in Hebrew is makalah. Makalah. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, I am Jehovah Makalah. I am the God who brings disease. I am the God who brings sickness. He at times allows it. But that's not who he is. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God whose very nature it is to heal. And it's so important that we know who he is, his nature, and his character. Because healing isn't just something he does. Healing is something he is. And we only know God Because he's chosen to reveal himself to us. That is the only reason we know him, is because he has chosen to reveal himself to us. And we watch from the Old Testament into the New, we watch what we call the progressive revelation of God. And we discover more and more and more about God as he reveals himself. Until we come to the New Testament where Jesus, we discover that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus will say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians will tell us that he is the exact image of the invisible God. And when we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, we see the consistency that Malachi says, I am the Lord, I do not change. We see what Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Because when it says, when Scripture reveals, God saying in Exodus, I am the God whose very nature it is to heal, when we look at the life of Jesus, it is marked by what? By healing. Over and over and over again, we see that he is the Son of God whose very nature it is to heal every manner of sickness and disease. And I know that Jesus comes to a pool and heals one guy, and I know there were other people who were sick. But everywhere we have an encounter with Jesus someone coming for healing, we discover he is the God whose very nature it is to heal. He is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Now we return to our regular scheduled sermon. It's about this journey that the children of Israel on, and they go from deliverance to dehydration. 3 days. 3 days, no source of water is found. That's a problem. No water that is drinkable. They found water that was bitter and they couldn't drink it. You think maybe that is worse than not finding any water at all? Where you show up, hope deferred, makes the heart sick. There's water. And it doesn't say they would not drink it. They could not drink it. We don't know why it was bitter. We don't know that they specifically called it Marah or it was already called Marah. And there begins, they don't vocalize it yet, but we will see it in the following chapters over and over again. They don't vocalize it yet, but they're at this point where they say, at least in their hearts, and we'll see it come out in their mouths shortly, why did you bring us here? There's no water here. We're going to die without any water. There was water back in Egypt. We might have died there, but we're going to die here. It's better that we went back there and rolled the dice and took our chances than you brought us out here to kill us and our little ones. Remember when I said we're going to circle back about the 3 days travel? I want to read a verse to you. It's found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. It's where God's speaking to Moses and the elders, and they're going to go talk to Pharaoh. Watch what it says. Then they, these elders, will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and say this: the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go, and it says this, 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we might sacrifice to the Lord our God. When they came to Pharaoh, they said, Let us travel 3 days, and what's going to happen? There's going to be a festival. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to worship. There's going to be a feast. There's going to be a celebration. We are going to go, and this is what it's going to look like, a worship celebration of sacrifice and worship to the Lord. 3 days' journey. Instead of that, they find this. We're at a place where the water is bitter. We have gone from deliverance to bitterness. Sometimes that can happen in our lives where we think, God, you've just delivered us. Look at the amazing thing you've done in our life. And we come to opportunities where we can be bitter. We're following the Lord and we come to an impossible situation called the Red Sea. And we'll see the things and the struggles that the Israelites come up against in the book of Exodus and into Numbers. And it's not that God wanted to discourage them, he wanted to teach them. If we were to look at the nation of Israel, if we were looking at the Hebrews and see that as they came out of Egypt, they came out birthed as a nation, then we would understand that the wilderness wanderings, that coming into the, if that's their birth, we're going to see them in infancy and in childhood. And God wants to teach them. Not, he doesn't want to discourage them. In fact, he strategically led them to the Red Sea that they would not be discouraged along the way, seeing an army having to fight. He strategically did that to show his deliverance and to show his power. There were two lessons that the children of Israel needed to learn, and they need to learn it over and over and over again. If we would follow the pages of Scripture, it would be these two lessons. You know what they are? Number one, trust. Number two, obey. Trust and obey. Follow them through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then the law the second time in Deuteronomy. Over and over and over again, do this. Trust and obey. If you obey me, these blessings will chase you down. If you don't, there's consequences. Trust and obey. There was so much water at the Red Sea, they probably didn't want to see water ever again. And now 3 days later, they're out of water, and it's a problem. Not only do they find water, but it's bitter. And they could not drink it. And Moses does what he knows to do. And this is a marvelous lesson for us when we come to bitter moments and bitter places. He cries out to God. He cries out to the Lord. Loved ones, there are psalms that we would refer to as psalms of complaint. God, where are you? God, why aren't you doing anything? God, don't you know? God, don't you care? Just this crying out to God. But they are not complaints against God. They are crying out to God. That's the distinct difference. They are not an absence of faith. They are complaints because of faith, because we know you are able. And you're not doing it yet, but we are coming to you because we know where to go. And that's what Moses did. He cried out with complaint. And we find Psalms, we find the psalmist doing that, crying out with complaint. But not against God, but to God. God, we're crying out to you. God instructed Moses. He said, take a tree, or we would potentially in some versions refer to it, didn't have to uproot the whole tree, but took a branch of that tree. It's translated that word both ways. But there was a tree already there. It wasn't a magical tree. It was simply a point of obedience, like holding a wooden staff over a river or over a sea. And the tree didn't make the water sweet. Like trees don't make water sweet. The Lord used something very natural to do something very supernatural. And I heard this phrase at a conference I was at in May. And it wasn't condemnation. It was strong. And the phrase I've just kept in my mind since then. It says, unless we are supernatural, we're only superficial. Unless we're supernatural, we're only superficial. And God did something with a very natural tree. He did something supernatural with it. And they changed, that the water was changed, a place of bitterness to a place of sweetness. And then they move from Marah, and they come to Elim. They find that there's 70 trees, and there's significance in that number, and there's 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water, springs of water, and the significance in 12 and completion and perfection, all those things. And the palm trees would not only be beautiful, but they would provide shade. And doesn't that sound nice? I suppose if there was a stool closer, I'd just sit on it. Let's just stay here. We were in Egypt, and then we came to this bitter place. But God did a miracle again. And we come now to this oasis, 70 palm trees, 12 springs of water, 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, there's just so much. God just looked after every detail provided for them. Let's just stay here. Let's go to Palm Springs. Let's not move from here. And yet, I guess it's wonderful that God gives us breaks on our journey. Aren't you grateful for that? That it's not just always hard slugging. It's not always tough going, that God will provide places for us. But that wasn't the end of the promised land for them. That was a resting spot, and we're grateful for those. but he had more for them to go and inherit. And there would be work and there would be effort and there would be lessons that they would need to learn to trust and obey. Look what happens in the next chapter, verse 1 of chapter 16. Just a few more verses and then we're going to wrap up. It says this, and they journeyed from Elim. That must have been tough. But I wonder what their expectation would be. We came from this bitter place, it was made sweet. Okay, now we're in Elim. Okay, off to the promised land, but Mount Sinai was going to be before that, where the Ten Commandments come, where there's smoke and fire and earthquake and all of that, and the people will say, Moses, you talk to God, tell us what he said, we're going to run away. But in between Mount Sinai and Elim, that's where they're going to go in the wilderness of sin. Watch this. They journeyed from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained. How about that? The whole group complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. Oh, that God had killed us. When we sat by pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. This is their selective memory. They are hangry. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And they would need to trust and obey, and we would see bread from heaven, and we would see God provide meat, and we would see over and over and over again the provision of God. And it's a very slow learning group to trust the Lord and to obey him. And I am guilty. How many times does it take me to trust the Lord, to trust the Lord? Let me close with this. I think I prayed in worship part of this scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Loved ones, let's do that. Let's just simply trust the Lord with all our heart. And as we do, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're not going to rest on our own understanding. We're not going to just, that's where our confidence is. No. In all our ways acknowledge him. God, we acknowledge that you are God, you are Lord. We're going to follow you. We're going to obey you. And it says that he will direct our paths. Some versions will say he will make our paths straight. Straight. In this moment of prayer, I just want to remind us that we were born into slavery into sin. And that more than 400 years ago. We read in Scripture in Genesis, in the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you will surely die. And when we ate of the fruit, sin entered the world, and with it, a death sentence. But Jesus came to rescue us, to save us, and to deliver us from sin and from slavery to sin. The death of the firstborn set the Israelites free out of Egypt. And the death of God's firstborn son set us free from slavery to sin. Free to obey, free to trust. And when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you are free. No more slavery, no more bondage. Jesus sets us free from three things with sin. First, he sets us free from the penalty of sin. Scripture tells us the wages, the consequences, the earnings of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we recognize and acknowledge that when Jesus pays the penalty for our sin on the cross, he knew no sin. He had no sin in his life, but he paid our penalty. He took our place. When he did that, he sets us free from the penalty of sin. But not only the penalty of sin, but Scripture tells us in Romans that as his Spirit comes to dwell within us, as we are born again, he set us free from the power over sin. That sin has power over us. We are no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to obey sin. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. The power of God in our lives. We don't have to say yes to sin. It no longer, sin no longer has the final word. no longer has the power. We are free. God has set us through the life of his Son, has set us free from the penalty of sin. He set us free from the power of sin. And eventually will set us free from the presence of sin. That we get to go be with him. That this is not the end. That this life is not the end. We struggle with sin. We fall in sin. We're tempted in sin. All the things. All the days of our, I think Ecclesiastes says, our miserable life. But there will be a day when every tear will be wiped away. No more death, no more dying, no presence of sin. Jesus sets us free from all three. I'd like to just close this time in prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to be those who follow you. And it's so hard sometimes. We don't know where you're leading. I mean, the Israelites, they were so happy about being led out of Egypt. And they plundered the Egyptians. They just walked away with so much stuff that they would eventually build the tabernacle or the temple with. The tabernacle in the wilderness. But God, they're just so delighted. Amazing. Free, free, free. But Lord, they came to the Red Sea and they were already discouraged. They came through the Red Sea and it was 3 days, only 3 days into this, they were so discouraged. And it continues to go on and on because they're so confused about, God, I thought you were leading us. And God, sometimes some of us, we think, God, I thought you were leading us. How did this happen? How did things go so sideways? How come there's such sorrow in my life? I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting to lose my job. I wasn't expecting to lose my health. I wasn't expecting to lose a loved one. I wasn't expecting, God, how can I be in this very bitter place? I wasn't expecting life to turn out like this. God, I pray for those of us here who are at that place where there's hurt and it's just tastes bitter. Maybe there's not bitterness in our lives, but it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bitter, there's a bitterness to this that bites. God, I pray you would transform these situations into places of wholeness and healing and sweetness. Tells us that in your presence there's fullness of joy. So God, would you turn bitter places into sweet? For those who have been going so hard and it's been so long and they're so tired and just haven't seen breakthrough and haven't seen change and haven't seen transformation, God, I pray for an Elam moment, that they would come. There's palm trees and springs of water. There's an oasis. God, you'd give them just strength for the journey. Jesus, you invited us and said that we could cast our cares upon you, that we could come and draw near to you. We'd find rest for our souls. You're the great shepherd who causes us to lie down in green pastures, who restores our souls. So God, for those who are weary and exhausted and tired and just spent, I pray that times of refreshing now would come from the presence of the Lord. God, you'd give them a break. Give them a break from the desert. Give them a break from the wilderness. I know you've got us on a path and you've got more for us and more trusting and more obeying and more promised land. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men what you have in store for us. God, we trust you. We look to you. But God, for those who it's just been so long, I pray fresh wind in their sails, an oasis, an Elam moment. God, for those of us who have struggled in sin, we pray you'd forgive us. Jesus, you paid the penalty for our sin. Please forgive us. We believe you paid the penalty. You died on the cross. You rose again. Please forgive us. Jesus, not only forgive us, but we pray that you would help us now to walk a life that honors you. Walking not just before you, but walking with you. Help us to live for you, saying no to sin because you have given us the power over sin. And you always provide a way of escape from the things that we're tempted in. God, help us to live for you victoriously with power over sin. And God, we look forward to the day when we get to be with you. But God, we don't want to wait until that day to be with you. God, we want to walk and live in your presence even now. Jesus, your word tells us that if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. So God, as we live for you, we want to live with you, not only in eternity, but right here, right now. And pray, oh God, that we can live in awareness of your presence. You are still Emmanuel, God with us. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.